Yeah, good evening, people. Yeah, thanks for joining me again. Don't forget to check out my Monday show, which is a country music show. It's all the new stuff, not the old stuff. And it airs on Radio Warwickshire, 6 o'clock, Monday evening, 6 till 8. RadioWarwickshire.com. And you're listening to...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, bringing you interesting guests every week. And tonight we're going to talk about wills and all good stuff like that. It's things that you need to be thinking about and people don't need to like to talk about. But yeah, I've got a great guest on, local business owner, Birmingham. And next week I've got Jill Mathias. She's wonderful. She sounds like the posh Radio 4 lady. So join me then. Yeah, don't forget, check me out on Audio Boom or iTunes. Please subscribe, please share and comment and hook up with me on Facebook. Just search Kurt Pickstone. Let's get on with the show. Good evening.
Good evening, Kirk.
Yeah, so introduce yourself.
My name's Steve Price. I'm director of a company called Perfect Wills and Estate Planning. We're based in Wild Green in Birmingham.
Yeah, tell us a bit about yourself and what, you know, we wanted to talk about a specific subject tonight, so...
Yeah, we specialise in helping people, making sure their assets are correctly protected. We're legal consultants and we cover all aspects of estate planning to do with will writing, setting up a blasting power of attorneys, which is even more highlighted, which we'll cover in more depth, and the protection of property and assets through the use of trusts and different types of trusts, which we do specialise in.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because it's important, especially because, I mean, I'm talking a lot about business and people in business, and even just the general public need that protection, but even more so if you've got a business because... You know, people have worked hard on it and they want to leave a legacy and want to leave things for people. And unfortunately, something can happen to somewhere, they become incapacitated and then the business stops because they've not put anything in place to protect themselves.
That's a good point, Kirk. Yeah. Where you've got 2, 3, 4 directors of a company, the importance of setting up correct estate planning and certainly lasting power of attorney for business purposes is essential. We speak to numerous businesses about this and help them set up the power of attorney so that if they do become incapacitated, they know that the business can still carry on and run. Obviously, if anything like that happens to them, it is a major problem for the business where bank accounts are frozen, etc. So it does have a major effect.
Yeah. It does. It's not good because I know a few people that have... It's put things in place now quite rightly, which is great. I mean, we've got ours set up so that, you know, our pensions and things that we've taken out for the business that the other one is in, you know, is can take that on if something happens.
But
it's vital this day and age. Anyway, because talk a little bit about Alzheimer's because that's one as well, isn't it?
I mean, as people have been made more and more aware, I'm not sure if everybody realises, but at the moment, there's approximately 850,000 people in the country suffering with some form of dementia. Horrible though it sounds, that's only going to increase. With predictions of in 5 to 10 years, it's going to be within the millions.
Yeah.
And obviously, we're living longer. People are living to an older age. Therefore, the likelihood is that something could well happen because the risks involved as you get older with your health, etc. Are there, and unfortunately that's the way things are.
So is it, and that's another thing when people start talking about wills and powers of attorney and all that, because obviously legal, so a lot of people can't be shy away from it because it seems like it's going to be either expensive or complicated, or you know, and people are, I think a lot of people are also scared of getting ripped off because obviously you've seen stuff with the banks and all the rest of it where they're being conned out the money and people. So I think very people are either, what's the word, sceptical of that or scared to do it because they're not sure. And so what would you say to people about that? Because obviously it's not just yourself doing this type of thing. There's other people doing it. So what's your
advice?
What's the best way for people to protect themselves so that they know they're using a reputable business? I think that's a good one to start with.
Well, we are members of what's known as the Society of Will Writers, which is an all-encompassing body that regulates ourselves and a lot of other will writing companies. Gives clients the protection. They know that if anything happened to Perfect Wills, then they know another firm of solicitors or will writers will take the company over. But the way things are going with ourselves, we're just looking to expand. And we have a bit of a mission that that's our aim, is to get the word out there to people that the correct planning is essential. And you need to put things in place. All right, it's not the obviously anybody's favourite subject to talk about.
Not really.
Gonna happen. But there's only one thing, it's inevitable, you know, you are at some time not going to be here.
Yeah.
But along the route, you could have episodes where things happen to you and there's no planning in place, and all the headaches and everything that incurs can be lessened to a major degree if the correct planning is put into place.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you do from your business? Do you sort of go and meet people one to one, or is it an internet based thing? Or?
Yeah, the majority of our business is one to one. We feel that people prefer that. You know, there is a danger to setting up wills on the internet and over the phone, i.e., because neither party knows who they're talking to.
Yeah.
So hence, we 90% of the time it's face to face meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah. We primarily, as we are based in Birmingham, we cover the West Midlands. That could change in the future because towards the end of July, we're actually featuring on Sky TV. We've recorded three programmes so far, with another three to follow, which will be going out on the Sky Channel. Hence, that should lead to maybe an influx of business from all across the country.
There you go. You'd like to think so, wouldn't you? Yeah. So what are those shows based on? Are they based on what you do as a company? So like a bit of a documentary about yourselves?
It's similar to what we're doing now, actually, where the presenter asks us various questions, scenarios, what would you do in this instance? And each programme is recorded on a different subject. So the first one was about wills. The second one, the importance of power of attorney. The third one about trusts and so on, leading up to the inheritance tax and the importance of probate and general estate planning.
Hmm. Oh, that should be interesting then. So when are they due to air, do you know?
They're due to air towards the end of July, and we think the channel is going to be 238 on Sky.
Right. Well, channel 238, people, watch out for that. That's great.
If that does change, obviously Kirk will be the first to inform you of that.
Yeah, so that's good because you're obviously getting out there. It's good for your business, but it's also good from an educational part of view to let people know what's out there.
Yeah.
So what would you say is the minimum that people should actually do who are sat home now who've got nothing? Because a lot of people have still, frighteningly, got nothing in place.
Yeah. The basic, obviously, is, and as Kirk says, he highlights that he's got nothing, the two-thirds of the country don't even have a will.
Hmm.
Now, obviously, not everyone should have a will because a lot of people don't have any assets or anything to leave. But
yeah.
If you do, then the importance of having a will, it saves the need for the estate to pass through what's called letters of association, and where you pass away without a will, the estate passes through the intestacy laws, which means it's a nightmare for somebody to sort out. And from personal experience, believe it or not, we had that situation with my father-in-law. He would not write a will.
Right.
And unfortunately, when he passed away, it caused uproar within the family. The one brother now doesn't speak, five of the other children don't speak to the one brother because of the row that they caused and the hassle that it caused. And if you'd have made just a will, that would have negated a lot of the problem.
Yeah, because it's an obviously difficult time anyway when someone passes away. But then added on that, and it's to say it'll be the same in a lot of families where someone believes they're entitled, let's say, to more than someone else, or someone. It's a really difficult one, isn't it? Because then all the green-eyed monster comes out, and she's got that. You've been in and taken. I wanted this. I wanted his watches. You wanted the jewellery. I wanted all that stuff. And you've been in. It's a really horrible thing because
Myself and Steve, a fellow director, we're planning to write a book. I think when we retire, some of the stories you just would not comprehend. It's just amazing.
Yeah,
the way people, like Kirk said, the green-eyed monster.
comes
out, and some awful stories. You wouldn't think people would behave the way they do,
but they do, don't they? They do, and it's it's mind-boggling, really, what people do in situations, and especially families can be terrible, really, can't they?
That's right. Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's
you can choose your friends, you can't choose your family.
Yeah. Fall out about the stupidest things, don't they? You know what I mean? That's it could be the, but like you say, so going back to what we're talking about, the fact that you've got a will says, I'm leaving this to Joe, Fred's getting that, they're getting that, and that's that. Even if, I mean, even if you've not got a lot of stuff, for me, I think it's worth doing it, even if you're not, do you know what I mean?
It does help. I mean, whether at the end of the day the will's carried out to the wishes of the person that's left it, another matter. But at least if you've got respect for that person, that's what should happen.
Yeah.
You know, that person says, I want this to happen, therefore please do it.
Yeah.
And, but in essence, that's what a will does. It just makes people aware of what you wanted to happen when they're no longer around.
Yeah.
It doesn't really protect from anything, but it does help.
Yeah.
And it's far better to have one than not because of the situation that can occur without a will.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's an interesting, and like you say, there's at some point that every one of us is not going to be around, regardless what you think. So it's something that we all need to think about, isn't it?
Yeah, and put something in place.
Yeah,
yeah. But, so just some of the stories, but maybe that's for another time, Kirk.
Yeah, it is. Because going back to the business aspects is, if you run a business, that can be quite a difficult thing as well, because if someone becomes incapacitated at the mental state, however you want to call it.
Yeah, well, that could be a result of an accident or stroke, dementia, general ill being, various dreaded diseases that people fall down with.
Yeah.
If you're bedridden, something like that, you can't access banking. I know you can online to a degree now, but the system occurs now where if you do become mentally incapable, the banks, following all the changes to the laws in 2007, will actually freeze the bank accounts.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if they're single or joint accounts, they have a duty of care to protect people's interests.
Yeah.
So as I say, even if people aren't quite surprised when we make them aware that I've got a joint account with a business partner or with a wife or something like that, it doesn't matter, the banks will freeze the account.
Yeah, and that, I think a lot of people are not aware of that, and obviously my show's about business as well, and I think it's quite a key point that me and my wife got a business, and if we've not give the other access or the ability to carry on when something happens, then your business stops, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Fair enough, the individual might be really ill or what have you, and you might take time out to you're not saying I'm just going to carry on, but it can stop your business to the point where it collapses in, and that's your only source of income. It's a bit of a mess, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah, undoubtedly.
Because you can always get someone else to fill a particular role in a business. Yeah. I mean, we've got key person insurance. That's the first thing I ever took out when we started our business, was key person insurance.
Yeah. That's great, but that's that works, obviously, if you pass away.
Yeah.
But if you don't, but you're mentally incapable of, or you've had an accident, that you're not died, so therefore that insurance doesn't kick in.
Yeah.
What else is there to help you run the business? And lasting power of attorney is one way of doing that.
Yeah.
Because it gives business partner, or say if it's a husband and wife who run the business, gives them permission then to carry on.
Yeah.
Nominating people that you trust to do that for you whilst you can't.
Yeah.
And it can be a temporary thing. I mean, say if you have an accident and you're off for 6 months, 12 months, once you fit again, you then have the opportunity to take the control again.
Yeah.
It's not once you've given that authority, then.
Yeah, it's not like
you no longer can be in control.
Yeah, because I think that's the other thing with taking it away from the business part of you, when you talk about individuals, that people could be concerned that, I've given my son or my daughter power of attorney in case something happens to me, and then the back of your mind you think, actually, are they going to shove me away to one side, say that I've do lally and take all everything I've got? So I presume that there's something that stops that from happening.
Yeah, it's only on a medical say-so. It has to be signed off by a doctor to say that you are incapable. And then obviously if you were fit again, then the doctor would say, yes, you're fit again. And then you're reinstated in effect. So that attorney is then taken away.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because some people do think and it might sound like a stupid statement or a stupid question, but I think that those are the sort of questions that go through people's minds is what if? And it's good to know that's the whole reason behind it, that it's all above board and people are protected from both sides, really.
From both sides, because again, over the years, you've had situations where there are various pieces on the internet, articles on the internet, where people have issued power of attorney, and unfortunately, the attorney they've chosen has ripped them off. And so you have to be careful who you instruct.
Yeah.
But in most cases, people...
Yeah, because you'll all be part of a, you spoke about before thing, you're all part of an organisation, like a a bit like on flights, you're protected by APTA, so there's a...
We're members of the Society of Will Writers.
Yeah.
That allows us to use their logo, and you'll see on a lot of our advertising and business cards, etc., that gives us the permission to use the logo, and they indicates that we are a company that are safe to deal with.
Good. I mean, I know we talked about it before, things, but quite important so people know who they're choosing and not just picking someone off the internet who could be bogus,
And again, obviously building up the credibility by being allowed to film for Sky, etc.
I'd like to talk about that. How did that occur? How did you end up getting that gig?
It's somebody I know actually has a TV studio, and they record programs for Sky. Already,
right,
and put the suggestion in there. Would it be a chance of getting in? And luckily enough, we've managed to do that. It's not cheap, obviously, to do that, but
It's not. Because there's something I was looking at doing. Anyway, that's for another subject. But I just wondered how you'd done that, how you'd got, whether you'd been approached or it's something you've decided to do. Because there's more and more shows coming out now that John Bishop does one. He does a talk show on one of the stations. I think he went to quite a lot of the major stations and said, can you put this on? And his idea was, I don't know if you watched it, go and watch it. John Bishop talks to or conversations with, similar to what we're doing now, just chatting. And it's just him and one guest in a room with an audience and just talks to him. And it's brilliant. But a lot of the TV station says, no, it never works, stupid. You need more multiple guests. You need this going. Like the Graham Nortons where they have three or four guests. It won't work. It's rubbish. No. So it's launched on an obscure station, and it's actually propelled that station because it's become a real popular show. But check it out, John Bishop's. Yeah. He talks to a lot of people in the knows, and they really, really open up when he's talking to them.
Yeah.
Like they say things that you wouldn't expect. It's just, it's a brilliant show.
Yeah,
really good show. That's the type of thing I'm trying to get with this show, is them being conversations. They're not scripted, there's not questions. It's just two people having a conversation about a certain subject or a certain business or a certain, and I think it works that way.
Yeah,
it's great that you're going to be on Sky, and that'll be really good. That'll be, you'll be pulling the
fingers crossed,
armchair up and a drink, and then while I'm watching the first show, won't you? Ooh, do I look like that? Ooh, did I say that? Have you actually seen any of the finished films?
There's two edits that have come through, and they will be available on YouTube as well. It's seeing yourself on something like that.
Well, let us know when they come out, because I'll add them to my YouTube channel, because I've got a playlist which is videos to watch, and I also obviously link up with other Facebook YouTube pages and put one to mine. So let us know and I'll add that to my YouTube. Yeah.
So what we're trying to do is highlight things that people aren't aware of. It is quite amazing the amount of people that sit in front of us, and when you go through things with them and say, look, do you realise this can happen? Oh, I didn't think of that, and I didn't realise that was a situation. And we're trying to educate people as well. This does happen, this is happening. Unfortunately, people are losing their properties to care home fees, things like that.
Yeah, because I think it's really terrible that, someone's got to pay for the care somewhere, the care for people when they get older and we're living longer and all the rest of it, we know that. But I think it's criminal, really, when someone's worked all their lives, probably been careful of what they did so they could have pay for a mortgage, put the roof over their head, yeah, to the point that in their old age they've got a paid property and they can live in it, then for them to basically be taken away to pay for them to be in care,
I mean, Steve, he went to see somebody who was in care, losing their property. They were in the same room as a person next door who hadn't paid anything into the system.
Yeah.
Was just in exactly the same conditions, same room, same food, everything. They were taking, in the process of taking, I think it was about 80,000 off this person, the lady who got the asset to have. And so another lady in the next room to her wasn't paying a penny.
I know.
And you just think, why is that fair?
It's not fair, is it? It's totally not fair. So yeah, what can people do to mitigate that and protect themselves for both them and then for the family, if they wanted to leave someone for...
The most common type of planning is where you have a couple, they will do what's known as mirror wills. So it reflects each other's situation. So if they own a property, they will then, in general, leave everything to each other upon when the first one passes away, which is not the correct way of doing things at all. Because if you do that, you put yourself in a situation where, say the husband passes away, the wife inherits everything. What happens then if she's in care, or she becomes mentally incapable, or if she finds another partner, and that partner's got family, then she passes away? It's happened, and it happens all the time, where the original beneficiaries, say her first set of children, had become disinherited because she's married somebody else.
And then
that family, they're strangers in effect, end up with all the money.
And then the fun starts, doesn't it?
That's right. And obviously now you're getting where over the last 30, 40 years, divorce has become more and more common.
Yeah.
And you're getting things like that, stepchildren become involved. And if they're not adopted, they have no say.
Yeah,
so, you know, if you got stepchildren, you did want to leave them something, and there's nothing written down, or you've not put it in trust, they could easily be disinherited.
Yeah, which is not good, is it? So tell us a little bit about trust, because obviously you can. So in the situation where you've got both partners alive, is it an idea to put it in trust at that point?
So what we would do in the first type of trust was a property protection trust. So you have a house. It could be worth 200,000.
Yeah.
As an example. And you're going to leave everything to each other, okay? Well, what you would do was, inside the will, we'd set up the trust. So when the first person passes away, their 50% share passes into the trust, which now protects it for those beneficiaries. So your usual scenario, a couple married with two children. That means that if the husband or whichever one of them has passed away, their 50% then passes into the trust and is protected for those beneficiaries, irrespective of what happens in the future.
Yep.
So therefore, the 50% that's left to the survivor, if they do end up in care, that's all that would be taken. They can't take the original, the other half, because that is in trust.
Yeah.
If they go on to marry another person, the husband's 50% is still sitting in the trust, so that protects from sideways disinheritance. So you know that you're protecting at least half of it for the beneficiaries that you want it to go to. But it doesn't detract from the survivor being able to sell the property and use all the worth of it to purchase maybe another property. It has that flexibility.
Oh, so you can still buy another property. Say you sell a house for 250 grand, go and buy another one for 300 grand or whatever, and whatever you want to do, or 100 grand or whatever.
Yeah. That 50% of whatever that's worth is still in trust for those original beneficiaries.
Right. Oh, that's good. That's good to know. So is the situation where you put the whole thing into trust as well, so whole property?
That one is a property protection trust where you put half of it in.
All right, okay.
Okay. The other type of trust, the Family Asset Protection Trust, is a trust that's set up where you put the whole of the asset in from day one.
Yeah.
And you don't have to wait for the first person to pass away for things to kick in.
Yeah.
It's the most, well, we're trying to make it the most common form of planning and the best way of looking after your assets.
Yeah.
The most common reasons that people do that are for the need for it, the property and the estate not to pass through probate.
Yeah.
Once a person passes away or the second person passes away, because probate fees, again, it's been highlighted recently, they were being looked at of increasing dramatically. And solicitors will generally charge 3 to 5% of the value of your estate to handle probate.
Yeah.
But if the property is in a trust, there's no need for it to pass through probate. So it avoids all the time delay that can happen with probate. That can drag on for 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, even longer, depending mm-hmm. on the complexity of the estate. Which means that if the beneficiaries want to, the day after the second person's funeral, they can put the house up for sale and sell it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it gives a lot more options, and it saves thousands in fees,
yeah.
you can imagine. It also, again, protects from sideways disinheritance. It also protects the beneficiaries from their relationship breakdowns. So if they're married and there's a divorce comes along, it means that anything written in the trust, the person divorcing has no call on that estate at all.
Yeah.
So it stays with your beneficiaries that you want to inherit.
Yeah, makes sense. Makes yeah. sense.
Oh, yeah, cool. So there's numerous reasons, and obviously when we sit down with people, we go through them, we do little drawings, etc., and show
yeah.
how it all works.
Yeah,
and that is what we're trying to do: get the word out there to people, say, look, you can protect them.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think we're coming close to the end of the show again. Zoomed past this. So where can people get hold of you then?
Okay. Yeah. The office number is 0121 272 3737, and it's Perfect Wills and Estate Planning. And so we're based in Wild Green in Birmingham, which is near Sutton Coalfield, but we cover the whole of West Midlands. And if you want to speak to us, you can also look on the website, perfectwills.co.uk, which is currently undergoing a major upgrade. And so we're, to coincide with all the TV launch, we're having a major advertising promotion push,
yeah, which sure.
to get the name out there and to show that we do care about looking after our clients and making sure that what we set up for them is robust and correct.
Yeah, so if you want to know a bit more, grab hold of them and watch out for that TV series, which is on channel, what was it?
238.
238 on Sky coming soon.
And also the sponsorship of another programme called Ballsy Women.
Oh.
Which is Sky, this channel's version of Loose Women, but where women talk about football.
Right, well, I won't watch that because I don't like football, but that sounds really interesting, so there you go. Well, thanks for joining us tonight. It's been really great, and I'll put all the show notes on for links to your website on Audio Boom when that airs, and also on iTunes, so people will be able to see it there. So thanks very much.
Thanks, Kirk.
Cheers. Yeah, great. Hopefully that's helped you. If not, contact Steve, and he'll help you out, or another professional in that field. Yeah. So don't forget, check out my radio show on a Monday night, radiowarwickshire.com. It's new country, some cracking stuff on there. It's not the old stuff, I play the odd old tune, but mainly it's new stuff that you've probably heard in the charts as well. You've been listening to. Oh yeah. Yeah, please follow me on Facebook, Kirk Pickstone. And on Twitter, at Dougie Stone, at Dougie Stone Show. Get onto RadioWarwickshire.com, see what's coming up. There's some great programmes on there. And if you check out Eddie King on a Sunday night, 6 o'clock, he does a time tunnel request slot. It's absolutely magical. And this Saturday, he's going to do a live from an event I'm doing. So from 2 o'clock onwards, Radio Warwickshire, that's the 8th of July. Check it out. See ya! The Dougie Stone Show.